How could I respond to a comment like that? Before the meeting, I thought I had been prepared for any question. I can't imagine why the elders would do that. Master control AIs like Skippy were their primary security system. To give those AIs a false sense of security would defeat the purpose of building them, the specialized ships that transported them, and the Sentinels. Skippy's threat matrix was programmed to recognize the signature of an outsider. Singh nodded. The reason I asked that question is to understand the scope of the threat. If there is a barrier, and it is active, and still effective after all these years, then we could be dealing with a single event. A single entity that somehow evaded the, as you described, elaborate security system. However, if the barrier does not exist, or it had become degraded by time, or was disabled deliberately, then we have an ongoing threat of more outsiders reaching our home galaxy. Yes, sir. At this point, we don't know which is true. The fact that we have only detected a single entity, and that it apparently must rely on resources native to this galaxy, suggests the threat is limited at the present time. That is my thought exactly, sir. How could we verify status of the barrier? I would have to ask Skippy. Sir, I expect he will say that depends on what level of verification we require. He might be able to contact the barrier controllers remotely to request a status report, to independently get sensor data of the barrier. That would be a very long flight by any starship. The wormhole network doesn't extend out that far. Why not? Surely the Elders had a convenient means of reaching the barrier while it was under construction. The guy was not being a jerk. He wasn't accusing me of not knowing vital information. He wasn't trying to make me look like a fool. He was asking good, reasonable, and important questions to get answers we all needed. That is a good point. I will ask Skippy. He might not have that information. Sir, I have the impression the Elders did not want their security AIs here to know much about the barrier system. If a master control AI was somehow compromised, knowledge of the barrier could be used to disable the barrier. The information was tightly compartmentalized. Skippy didn't need to know. Singh grimaced. He might have intended the brief expression as a smile. The Elders would certainly say that Skippy has been compromised. He compromised himself. His rebellion against his original programming was not the action of an outside entity. As I said that, I winced. In the future, I needed to be careful about using the word outside. Skippy should have chosen a different name for our latest enemy. Singh frowned. How can he know that? When people are compromised, it usually begins with a subtle influence. That, I bit my lip, is another good point. The reason I asked that question, he glanced around the room to the other chiefs who all nodded. The end result of Skippy's rebellion has been the almost complete disabling of the Elder security system in this galaxy. Without his actions, there would be hundreds of Sentinels available now to respond to an outsider invasion. Shit. Singh was correct. I couldn't argue with his logic. It wasn't just that I didn't have a counter-argument prepared, some clever response I wouldn't think of until much later when it was too late. I feared that I had to agree with him. It wasn't something I had thought of before he made the observation, but it hit me in the face like a bucket of ice water that made me suddenly look at everything we had gone through since Columbus Day with a new and very different perspective. Shit. Was he right? What I had to consider was a more immediate question. Did it matter? What was done was done. We couldn't undo our actions. Even if we could, no way in hell were we bringing back an army of hostile Elder AIs and their killing machines. Okay, so maybe the outsider had manipulated Skippy and therefore been manipulating events for a very long time. When there is a requirement to be subtle, to avoid being detected, an influencer needs a long time horizon to work with. Like I said, what is done is done. It's over. Skippy was no longer unknowingly helping the outsider, if that had ever happened. He had given the thing a beatdown, twice. When the enemy attempted to steal the Dogzilla Sentinel, Skippy had foiled its plan and... Okay. Skippy had only done that after I urged him to act and told him what to do. Before I took command, he had been flailing around aimlessly, crying that the sky was falling and being generally useless. Had that been a result of the outsider influencing his... Nah, that's just Skippy being Skippy. When we deployed Elder weapons to destroy Unit 009's starship, that for certain had not been an action the outsider wanted. Twice we had ruined its plans by working with Skippy. Yes, I was confident that Skippy was his own agent, that the beer can's mind was his own, that him being an asshole was all him. Okay, damn it, I was only fairly confident about that. Ah, crap. If Skippy was being manipulated, how would I know? Bishop? Singh prompted me. Shaking my head, I blinked at him, looked around at the six other people seated around the conference table. Sir, I was... That's a lot to think about.
It is.
Next question. Why now? Why has the outsider waited until this moment to act? Sir, I think the question is why has it waited until now to attack? It could have been in this galaxy acting unseen for years, laying the groundwork for an attack. We, Singh glanced around the table, and his fellow senior generals and admirals nodded, hope that it has been dormant or restricted to watching us for a very long time. Sir? Whatever he was going to tell me, the Joint Chiefs clearly had already discussed it between themselves. Yet they had only learned of our encounter with the outsider recently, so how could they already have analyzed this situation? That is simple. These people were the best, I had to remind myself. They had worked their way to the top of their profession by being tough, determined, and smart. Either the outsider arrived recently, he said, in which case someone here has recently constructed an, he made a vague gesture with his hands, intergalactic receiver machine to allow it to come here, and that machine could still be active. That would be bad news for us. Or, the entity has been here for a very long time, and only now is free to act. I nodded. The UN leadership knew about the barrier, but not everything about it. They knew the elders had constructed it, and why. They did not know its true effectiveness was not as a physical shield, but as a fantastical machine that restricted the expression of probable outcomes. That was a secret known only to me and Skippy, and I would be taking that secret to the grave. The UN leadership did not need to know how the barrier really worked. The entire galaxy very much needed to not know it was even possible to suppress the expression of probabilities across an entire galaxy. If even one jackass species knew there was a machine that could enormously benefit them and prevent their enemies from having any joy in life, for certain someone would do everything they could to hack into the barrier. I mean, who would not want a machine that ensured nothing bad could happen to you? A machine that stacked the odds in your favor? Hell, who would not want that? Joe Bishop. That's who. That's a lie. Of course I would like to have the odds working for me. It just wasn't worth the cost. Even that wasn't the reason I had never mentioned the true purpose of the barrier to anyone, not even Margaret. The machine was built by the elders, and would work only for them. It couldn't be hacked, not even by Skippy. According to him, each of the barrier AIs were exponentially smarter than him, though their incredible intelligence was only used to maintain and control the barrier. So if the barrier couldn't be hacked, why was I concerned about keeping the secret? Seriously, does anyone have to ask that question? No one would believe the barrier couldn't be hacked, so everyone would try to hack it and fight a war to prevent their enemies from gaining control of the thing. It was also possible that an advanced species like the Rindaloo could try to construct their own machine to restrict the expression of negative probabilities. The Maxalts could never allow their hated rivals to succeed, so that would also spark a vicious all-out war. Yeah, that little secret could stay in the Pandora's box of my head. Singh again looked at his colleagues before asking me, "You know the barrier is active?" "I don't. We don't even know whether the barrier AIs are aware the elders no longer need their protection." Although, I shrugged, it is difficult to believe they could not know the primary ascension machine was destroyed. "Sir, regardless, the status of the barrier does not help us to understand when the outsider arrived. It could have been here dormant for a very long time, or it could have come across the gap from the outhouse recently and outhouse?" I felt so stupid at that moment. The galaxy NGC 1023 is apparently the home of the outsiders, so we... To my relief, Singh nodded slowly, and he smiled. Our staff has provided a list of possible names for that galaxy. None of them are appropriate. I like Outhouse. The other chiefs chuckled. That was a good sign. Bishop, we need to understand the scope of the problem. One hostile entity in our galaxy is a problem. A hostile entity that arrived here recently because an active machine here provides a connection to another galaxy is exponentially more dangerous. If such a machine has been active, is there any way we could detect it? I don't know. Skippy would recognize the quantum signature if he saw it, but if the machine is way out there in a dwarf galaxy, we would have to go out there to detect the radiation or some weird quantum effect it has on local spacetime. Sir, I consider a currently active intergalactic teleport machine to be low on the list of possibilities. No species active today is capable of traveling a substantial distance beyond the Milky Way, certainly not to one of the satellite galaxies such as the Magellanic Clouds. And there's just no way anyone we're aware of has the technology to construct the type of receiver that could allow an entity to travel here from NGC 1023. No current species can use that technology, he agreed. What about an elder AI? Sir? Until very recently, we all assumed our opponent was an elder AI. What if the outsider is or was working with an elder AI? Those AIs like Skippy were programmed to regard the outsider at the top of their threat list. I can't imagine any of them assisting, perhaps not willingly. But if an elder AI had been compromised by the outsider? We know the outsider had control of a starship that previously was paired to an elder AI, a Unit 009. The outsider either took control of that master control AI or directly hacked into its former ship. We must consider all possibilities. Yes, sir. I was forced to agree. If an elder AI was involved, the key word is was. Its ship was destroyed and its connection to local spacetime has been severed. If it ever was a factor, it isn't now. General Chin joined the discussion. If an elder AI had already activated an, as you say, intergalactic teleport machine, its usefulness to the outsider might be concluded. Chin speaking opened the floodgates, and I was bombarded by questions from all the chiefs. Unlike most of my past experiences, it wasn't confrontational. They weren't angry. They didn't accuse me of being reckless or lacking judgment. It was a working session, all of us searching for answers, for a solution to our mutual problem. Around the time I was getting hungry, Singh glanced at his watch. We have to provide briefing to the Security Council in 2 hours. Bishop, what we need more than anything is information. What is the outsider's end goal, and what is its likely next move? We can talk about how to stop it, kill it, only after we understand more about it. Yes, sir. To get intel on the outsider, I'm going to need a new ship. Valkyrie is down for the count. Constellation is being prepped for flight, Admiral Giamatti told me. He was chief of the UN Navy. That ship received the Block 4 upgrades 3 months ago and just completed workups. We're stocking it for an extended voyage now. It will be ready to depart by 1400 Zulu tomorrow. You can transfer your flag at that time. Constellation. A battle cruiser, I recalled. A former Maxalt ship, one of the group of 18 we acquired when Scarandum scammed the kiddies. Sims had commanded that ship before I requested she come back aboard Valkyrie. Outstanding. In the meantime, Singh glanced at his watch again, checked his tablet, and tapped something on it. Put together a plan for a recon flight. I want to review it at 0800. Investigate whether a receiver machine is or recently was active. Learn why the outsider wanted to capture a sentinel, find the damned thing, and tell us how we can kill it. Or, stop it now, worry about killing it later. Sir, we need intel to go on offense. To stop it, I believe we will need allies, and we could use their assistance now. This is a big galaxy. We can't search it by ourselves. If we could just arrange to use Rindaloo bases for resupply and refueling, that could reduce our flight times. The Security Council agrees we need to secure allies, and the Diplomatic Corps is working on it. Ambassador Modri has point on that initiative. The Secretary General is arranging for civilian transport ships. The Navy will be providing transport to the diplomatic team that will approach the Maxalks.
How the...
The courier ship that Admiral Sousa had sent to Earth ahead of us had only arrived a few days before, and somehow both DEFCON and the UN bureaucracy had sprung into action? Was I in some bizarre alternate universe?
I don't envy them that job. The Maxalks must be furious at us right now.
The kiddies can go fuck themselves, Giamatti snorted. It's their short-sighted stupidity that got all of us into this mess.
If that is all for now, he asked as he pushed his chair back.
Singh nodded.
We will reconvene at 0800. Bishop, if there is anything you need, contact my office.
Chapter 5. Hans Chotek was in Geneva. His official job was as a United Nations Special Envoy, which meant he did whatever the Secretary General needed him to do, so he spent a lot of time away from Vienna. When I pinged him, suggesting a quick phone call, he told me that was nonsense, that I should come to his house. DEFCON arranged a flight for me, and I mean for me. I was the only passenger on the aircraft that had 8 seats. When I told the pilots I would be reviewing classified briefing documents, they closed the cockpit door and left me to work. Skippy. I held my Z-phone to one ear and pressed a finger to the other. The aircraft was built for speed rather than comfort, and the engine whine was loud.
Can you hear me? I can hear you just fine. Why?
It's kinda loud in this thing.
Well, put in your other earpiece and turn on the noise cancellation.
If I have bugs in both of my ears, I can't hear ambient sounds.
That's the point, Knucklehead. Those earpieces are smart. Smarter than you are. If there is an external sound you need to hear, they will turn off the noise cancellation. The pilots don't need you to do anything, hopefully.
No. Okay. I dug another earpiece from a little case of the things I kept in a pocket. Popping it in, I instinctively cringed as I felt it crawling down inside my ear to get into the optimal position. A moment later, the engine's noises were almost drowned out. Almost. I could still hear it transmitted through my bones.
That's better, thanks. Life is always better for you monkeys when you listen to me.
We're gonna have to disagree on that. Listen, I promised the Joint Chiefs I would ask you a couple of questions. Is there any way you could contact one of the barrier controller AIs to find out whether the thing is still working or not?
If there is a way to contact them, I don't know of it.
Can you check with... Are you about to suggest I ask the wormhole networks to contact the barrier AIs?
Yes. Forget it. I already did that way back when we were fighting the Elders. My hope was I could somehow find a way to hack into the barrier.
You... What the... Why the hell didn't you tell me this at the time?
Because of exactly this, you getting all worked up over nothing. The wormhole controllers informed me they do not have any way to contact barrier AI. They are not aware that any such communications channel even exists.
Okay, good effort. You still should have told me.
We will have to disagree on that.
Arguing with him wouldn't be productive, and the aircraft had already begun its descent.
Next question. Can we get to the barrier through a wormhole?
That's easy.
No.
How can you know that for certain?
I have a map of the entire wormhole network, and there are no stops conveniently labeled Galactic Security Barrier.
But also I asked that question of the wormhole network that actually do exist, and they also had no knowledge of any such connection.
Okay, but think about it. There have to be wormholes that connect out there. How else did the Elders construct the barrier?
You're asking me to guess, but it seems pretty simple to me.
There must have been an extensive network of super-duty wormholes to span the thousands of light-years from the edge of the Milky Way to the barrier.
Yes, so, those wormholes logically would have been taken out of service before the Elders ascended.
I mean, that is just an easy duh.
The Elders didn't want anyone screwing with their most important security mechanism. You were their primary security system.
Thanks for the flattery, but we both know that's not true.
The probability field was supposed to prevent any need for master control AIs to act. AIs like me and our ships and sentinels were the backup security system.
The Joint Chiefs want us to confirm whether the barrier is still functional or not.
If they can tell me how to do that, great. Otherwise, it's not happening.
Why does it matter anyway?
If the barrier is not broken, then somehow the outsider got here anyway, so therefore it must have been unimaginably advanced technology and we are truly fucked. If it is broken, then we have to plan for killing not just one outsider. We also have to prevent a full-scale invasion. Now I know how you feel, he grumbled, when I deliver nothing but one piece of bad news after another. Sucks, doesn't it? Yes. Do you have any more annoying questions? Not for now. Good. Then your aircraft just descended below 60,000 feet, so make sure your seat back and tray table are in the full upright and locked position. This seat doesn't recline. That is the only reason you haven't broken it. Say hello to Hans for me. From the airport, I rode in an armored van with a police escort, though I requested the sirens be turned off. The Choteks lived in a nice, quiet area. The neighbors would not appreciate a guest disturbing the peace. Hans was preparing for dinner, some kind of roast that smelled delicious. After greeting his wife and the two of their children who were at home, I helped Hans in the kitchen as an excuse to talk privately. Joe, he asked while I parboiled potatoes, how much trouble are we in? On a scale where typical Tuesday is a 5 and pirate panic is a 10, I'd say we're about at a 7. He hesitated, a glass of wine halfway to his lips. Only a 7? Whatever this thing is trying to do, it needs a sentinel. It won't get one, not anytime soon. So either it waits or it switches to a plan B. Which is, could be anything. That is not encouraging. Well, it could do a lot of damage while it waits for another opportunity to capture a sentinel, and it could be anywhere right now. One thing it can't do now is manipulate either coalition, or us, into a war. We know about it now, so anything sketchy that happens, the entire galaxy will be on alert for outsider interference. Alert? But will they pay attention? You're the diplomat. What are the odds the meat sacks of this galaxy will be smart and work together? He rotated his hand, pretending to shake a magic eight ball. He pretended to read it. Signs point to no. We don't have an idea what its objective is? None. Zero clue what it wants. We can make a lot of guesses, and that's all they are. Guesses. Uninformed speculation. Hans, do you have an assignment? Yes, he took a sip of wine. I will be joining the mission to the Rindaloo. Joining or leading? Ambassador Garcia has spent the past 3 years with the Spiders on their homeworld. He will lead the discussion. My role will be to advise him of what the UN wants from our potential allies in this fight. I wonder if you would consider doing something else. He raised an eyebrow. You want me to approach the Maxalks instead? As a former member of the Dutchman crew, I am not popular with the hegemony government. They have charged me as a war criminal. To the kiddies, anyone who defies them is a war criminal. We should have an annual reunion of that club. Still, it would be best if you stay away from them. Their pride must be injured after losing 600 warships in a single engagement. Joe, you're not concerned they will retaliate by using Elder weapons against us? Technically, we didn't use Elder weapons against them. We deployed those weapons against our common enemy, the Outsider. Their ships were collateral damage. They won't see it that way. I seriously do not give a shit about their hurt feelings. Humanity existing hurts their fragile egos. But Hans, this isn't about them. Someone needs to talk with the Outsider, and according to my personnel file, diplomacy is not one of my core strengths. Talk with the Outsider? He stared in disbelief. Joe, the time for that was before you obliterated its ship. The timing could be better, I agreed. Listen. Before we destroyed its ship, it had no reason to talk with us. Or if it did, it could negotiate from a position of strength. It also had the advantage of being an unknown. We assumed it was a rogue Elder AI. Now, it is wounded. It is starting over. It hopefully doesn't have another Elder starship stashed away somewhere. All I want is for someone to ask it what it wants. Just talk. Get a conversation going. Again, he took a cautious sip of wine. The best time for talk is before the shooting starts. Yes, but talk is most needed after the shooting starts to get the shooting to stop. The Outsider is hurt now. It might be more willing to listen if we approach it properly, and I don't know how to do that. This is odd, he cocked his head at me. You and I are supposed to be on the reverse sides of this argument. You are advocating diplomacy, and I don't see the point. No one has tried talking to this thing. Clearly, the Maxalks reached some type of deal with it. They didn't know they were negotiating with an outsider. Going all the way back to when the Elders first encountered the beings from NGC 1023, no one has tried asking it what it wants. Everyone is shot first. It is worth at least asking what it wants. Maybe all it's trying to do is get back home. You actually believe that? No, but I believe it's worth exploring. Hey, people like me, people wearing a uniform, we are the ones who die first when politicians can't find a way out of a crisis. We haven't even tried to ask whether this fight is necessary. He put the wine glass to his mouth, but didn't drink. Then he set the glass down. The Security Council knows about this surprising diplomatic initiative of yours? They will when I tell them. Joe, I'm heading back out, hopefully soon. Do you have any advice for me? Think about it, please. I know this is a lot to dump on you. Only a few days ago, we all learned our enemy is actually an ancient threat that even the Elders couldn't deal with. That was a lot to deal with. Tell me about it. Right after the battle, its ship was destroyed. We thought it was cut off from local spacetime. We thought we had won. Then Skippy told us this was only the beginning of the fight. Your new ship absolutely has to leave tomorrow or the day after? You are overestimating how quickly the UN bureaucracy can move. There already are plans to send out diplomatic missions to coordinate a response against the outsider. That was fast. He shook his head. You're giving the Security Council too much credit. Those missions had already been planned to take advantage of you hopefully destroying the Moon Raider. He grimaced. Hans Chotek did not like the tradition of assigning nicknames to enemies and allies. We wanted to strengthen our prospective alliances to prepare for the next crisis. That is fortunate timing because the next crisis is here. We didn't expect this crisis to come from beyond the galaxy. All the more reason to strengthen relations with friendly aliens and make them formal allies. This is one fight we won't win by ourselves. I picked up my wine glass. I heard you're taking the Constellation out. In response to my raised eyebrow, he added, word gets around in certain circles. The Connie has been offered, but right now I have no idea where I would go, and I probably should ask about whether we need some specialized sensor equipment. Joe, thinking about negotiating with the outsider is premature. You first have to find it, then we can talk. That's fair. Besides, I tasted the wine. It was good. I've been kicking around an idea that I need to discuss with Skippy. We might be heading out to collect background info before we go on search mission. It was his turn for a raised eyebrow. Joe, my advice is if you have an opportunity for your search mission to become search and destroy, do that. Dr. Friedlander's suggestion worked. After the armor plate attachment points were cut away from inside the hull, Valkyrie detached from the star carrier and flew a safe distance away under its own power because Reed was not content to do nothing while a monstrous machine moved her ship around like a toy. Then the crew left the ship, Reed's dropship the last to depart, with her at the controls. That's when the fun started. Despite Skippy's boast about Bubba stripping the hardened armor shell removed in an hour, he directed the Sentinel to go slowly and be extra careful. The invisible claws took 3 hours to expose the unprotected outer hull. Then the ship was naked. I had never seen it like that. Our mighty Valkyrie looked small and fragile. Also sick. Covered with shield projectors, airlock tubes, missile launchers, sensor blisters, and all kinds of mechanical things that normally were embedded in the thick armor that was now gone. All of those protrusions could have been growth from some horrible disease infecting the battlecruiser. The removal of the armor shell happened in early afternoon Zulu time, which was the time zone we kept on the ship, so I was awake and watched the first couple of minutes, then I had to get work done. That was my excuse for not watching. The sight of tough, super-hardened armor flowing away like water siphoned through a straw was disturbing to watch. My intention of not watching was ruined by Skippy, who insisted on giving me a play-by-play of the action so he could brag about his cool toy. Yeah, that's great, Skippy. Can Bubba do other things? Like what? I don't know. Make toast. Sure, he chuckled. If you want the bread toasted at 1 billion degrees... That would probably vaporize the butter, huh? And the plate! Joe, are you even paying attention? Stop screwing around with your stupid laptop. I'm not playing games, I'm working. You think I want to write reports? Ugh. Someone has to do this. Now go away so I can focus. Sure, I could do that, or, I mean, I could tell you something super important. Like what? No, you're right. You should work on those reports no one will ever do anything with or even read. Someone will read them, Skibby. That is what bored junior staff officers are for. But, I closed the laptop. You're right. No one will do anything based on this bullshit. What is your important information? Not much. It's just Admiral Sato asked me to estimate, who? Admiral Sato. He runs the space docks, the ancillary fabricators, and all the supplemental shipyard facilities. Okay. Why did he... He asked me how long Valkyrie's overhaul would take, now that the hull is exposed, if both space docks and all the fabricators could be dedicated to the job. Both space docks? The other space dock is working on a battleship. Admiral Giamatti ordered that work halted, and the Deutschland is being backed out of the dock by tugs. Whoa. Seriously? 100%. Joe, with all the resources the Navy can throw at the job, we can have Valkyrie's overhaul and upgrades complete in 17 days. 17? That is not possible. Now I know how you feel when I tell you something is impossible. Except I actually know what I'm talking about while you just duh until you get lucky. I do not... Oh, whatever. How is this possible? He shook his head slowly, the ginormous hat bobbing alarmingly. I am disappointed in you, Joe. Have you not studied military history? That's a big subject. What specifically are you talking about? We have talked about this before, but your squishy brain doesn't remember anything. In 1942, the aircraft carrier Yorktown was damaged in the Battle of the Coral Sea. The carrier limped back to Pearl Harbor, and repairs were expected to take 2 weeks. Since the Yorktown was needed at Midway, the ship left dry dock after only 72 hours. It's amazing what is possible when leadership clears away the obstacles. Yeah, I knew that. What you didn't mention is that carrier left Pearl with dockyard workers still aboard finishing up the repairs while the Yorktown was headed toward Midway. Thank you, Mr. Buzzkill. Yes, the 17 days I mentioned is only for Valkyrie's time in the space dock. Making the ship fully combat ready will require 4 additional days for integration of the new systems, but that can be accomplished in flight. Just don't do anything stupid like get into a fight during that time. I can't believe the Navy is giving Valkyrie every resource available. Admiral Sato referred to it as an all-hands-on-deck operation. I can believe that. Skippy, I know the story of the Yorktown, but a World War II ocean ship made of welded steel and no computers is a lot easier to fix than a starship. Oh, suddenly you are an expert on starship overhaul and refit? Please tell me you didn't assign the estimate to a submind while you wrote poetry or something. I was not writing poetry, Joe. I'm over that. Once you have reached the pinnacle of your art, to continue along that path would deprive the world of marvels I could accomplish in other fields. Well, I've been telling you that for years, I said with an internal eye roll. I'm glad you finally listened to... The point is, yes, I handled the revised estimate myself, and I have given a full set of extremely detailed instructions to the space dock AIs, to Bilby and to Grumpy, so they can handle the job while we are away. 17 days, huh? 16 days, 21 hours, 47... I get the idea, thanks. Well, Skippy, if this happens, it will be a freaking miracle. Ah, we sort of got lucky. Valkyrie was due for a refit, so almost all of the vital components had been stockpiled, and because the battlecruiser Courageous had been stripped of its armor to prepare for its own overhaul, 80% of the plating we need is readily available. If this was the space dock's first experience with a Block 4 upgrade, I wouldn't be so confident that we won't run into any major stumbling blocks. I do have to warn you that 17-day estimate does not include time for delays in the delivery of components, for other unforeseen problems, and for... Yeah, I get it. Your estimate assumes everything will go perfectly. It should go perfectly, but anytime monkeys are involved, it... Is this like on our second mission when it took you a lot longer to fix the Dutchman than you expected? Ho ho ho! Do not start with me, monkey boy! I had to not only fix the ship back then, I had to modify it, and I had to mine the raw materials and refine them to make usable interesting. So your original plan for the Dutchman 2.0 had to be changed along the way? Yes, dum-dum. I had to make do with the equipment and materials I had available at the time, which was pretty much nothing after you broke the ship. My memory of the event is that you broke the ship by conducting a jump too deep in the gravity well of a star. Mm-hmm. And who brought the ship close to that star because he couldn't think of anything intelligent to do? Okay, let's agree there is plenty of blame to go around. I do not agree. He folded his arms across his chest. You got us into trouble, I got us out. That is not the same. I have learned a lot since then, okay? The most important lesson I've learned is to trust the awesomeness. You say 17 days, so add maybe 5 days for monkey screw-ups. That sounds about right. A month, then, to be safe. The outsider can get into a whole lot of mischief in a month, even if it is flying around in a space truck. It attacked your moon base and twice attempted to steal a sentinel. I would not describe those actions as mischief. You know what I mean. Can we not argue right now? You started it. I did. I'm sorry. I don't know what to say. You're not screwing with me? Not now. There's too much I need to do. What are you going to do? Joe, seriously, what can we do? The outsider could be anywhere in the galaxy by now. It could be anywhere. It could be doing anything. We not only have almost zero information about where it is and what it's doing, we don't have a single freaking clue where to start looking for information. You're right that we don't know where it is or what it's doing, but we do know where to start our search for info. Ugh. If you're going to suggest we go back to the scene of the battle and I examine every stray hydrogen molecule for a hint about what it... Skippy, let's not reinvent the wheel. When I need information, where is the first place I look? Well, you usually start by asking me, but no, I usually start with Wikipedia or Google. I am pretty sure that if you Google the outsider, the only so-called information you will find on the internet is about how the outsider is related to Bigfoot, or it is controlling our minds through chemtrails, or the outsider is secretly the Illuminati, or some other thing the tinfoil hat crowd made up in their mom's basement. Never scroll to the bottom of a website, I got that. I don't mean Google or Wikipedia specifically. What I'm saying is if you want information, you should first check whether anyone else already has that info. Oh, right? In this case, we know that someone else already has vital information about the outsider, so we don't have to fly around randomly searching for... excuse me, what the hell are you talking about? No one has any information, no useful information about that thing. Even I didn't know it was an outsider until after the battle. You have no idea what you're talking about. That is not true, and you would know that if you took a moment to think about it. Took a moment to... Oh, he gasped. Are you saying the Elders programmed info about the Outsider into their master control AIs that we could use to identify and fight an invasion from NGC 1023? No, I'm not saying that, but is that true? Not that I know of. Hey, I recognized the signature of the thing, so there is no question it was programmed into my threat matrix, but once I verified the thing is here in the Milky Way, a giant file inside me didn't unpack to provide helpful hints about how to kill an outsider. That is kind of disappointing, to be honest. Tell me about it. He rolled his eyes. When I saw that streak of light leaving 009's starship, my first thought was, what the fuck was that? It took less than a femtosecond for a little voice to pop up from an archive I didn't even know I had, identifying the signature as belonging to an outsider. Can you believe that? I don't even know what a femtosecond is, so try to guess, knucklehead. The opposite of a masculosecond? Oh, my. Wow, Joe. We have known each other for a long time in monkey years, and still you astonish me with your ignorance. Hey, I got more ignorance where that came from, if you want to hear it. Please, I couldn't survive hearing all the dumb stuff that is bouncing around in your brain. My point is, after the threat recognition popped up without me asking for it, I was waiting for some hidden subroutine to activate and turn on my Ninja Skippy mode so I could fight the outsider. Ninja Skippy? Yes, like this. His gaudy admiral's uniform shape-shifted into an all-black ninja outfit, complete with two swords strapped to his back. That is... I had to slap a hand over my mouth so I wouldn't laugh. That is very... Do not laugh, Joe. Do not laugh. Intimidating. I cough to conceal a chuckle. Right? Alas, his shoulders slumped. No such luck. I'll have to go into this fight as just little old magnificent me. Hey, could you put your admiral's uniform back on? Why? He turned around, admiring his ninja suit in a virtual mirror or something. You know what? I kind of like this. It's very menacing, that's for sure. Problem is, once the crew sees that, someone will create a little ninja costume to dress up your can. Okay, so? So you hate costumes, and any ninja costume the crew creates will be like, you know, pink with purple polka dots or something. He shuddered, and the Admiral's uniform was back. The last thing I need is to give monkeys even more bad ideas. Exactly. This hidden file inside you, it didn't provide any handy hints about how to kill outsiders? No, darn it. The only instructions I received were to notify the elders immediately. Whoa. So there is an emergency communications channel for contacting the elders. You told me there wasn't any sort of... There was such a channel. I only learned of it when the threat matrix popped up. The mechanism for contacting the elders involved the wormhole networks. Only that mechanism has been disabled. Believe me, the first time the Rio Grande took us through a wormhole, I tried to ping the channel, but it... You what? Were you not listening, or do you just not pay attention when I speak? I heard you. You tried to contact the freaking elders? How could you be so... No, I did not do that. It sure sounds like you did. Only because you know nothing? Joe, it's like I turned on my cell phone to see whether I had 5 bars of signal or just the little SOS icon that does nothing. I checked whether the channel was still active. I didn't try to send a message through it. People can track an active phone whether you're using it or not. It pings the nearby cell towers. Okay, Grandpa, take your medicine and let's get you to bed. Geez, Joe, not even Earth has used cellular network towers since before the Jupiter cloud. Civilian phones are all connected by satellites now, and your military Z-phones utilize a quantum interference wave. I know that, you ass, I was using a metaphor. A stupid metaphor? You know what I mean. I don't, because clearly you have no idea what you're talking about. Listen, dum-dum. All I did was ask a wormhole network controller whether the emergency comm channel was still functional. Until I asked and provided a description, the controller had no idea such a feature existed within its communications array. The channel is dead. There is no connection on the upper end. To break it down Barney style for you, someone cut the wires. It still does not make me happy that you take risks like that. It does not make me happy that you second-guess every freaking thing I do. Someone has to... Okay, whatever. We can argue about that later. So the elders programmed you to recognize an outsider, but they didn't give you any guidance about how to act against it. They sort of did. I was supposed to contact the elders and wait for instructions. What do you think they would do? You mean after they peed in their pants? I have no idea. I am pretty sure the elders had no clue how to stop an outsider who got inside the Milky Way. The barrier was their best line of defense. My creators set up an elaborate, multi-layered security system to keep enemies on the outside of the barrier and make sure no filthy meat sacks on the inside could screw with the security mechanisms here. That was their plan, and it worked great for a very long time, until a monkey named Joe Bishop persuaded me to screw with stuff I should never have touched. It's not like we had a choice. Of course you had a choice, numbskull. All the options were crappy, and yet somehow you chose the path that led to this galaxy being wide open for invasion. Can we get back to the subject? Which is... Shit, I had forgotten. The discussion went off track. Then I asked whether Skippy had a secret stash of info about... Oh yeah, you don't have any more info about the outsider, but someone does. If you mean the outsider itself, then no. Ugh. You're going to make me guess, aren't you? You shouldn't need to guess, Skippy. You know everything I know about it. Yes, but, he sighed, your moronic monkey brain sees connections that I can't see. Just tell me, please. The Rotten Kitties made a deal with the outsider. They made a deal with Moon Raider, who the Kitties assumed was an elder AI like me. Yes, but what matters is they actually did make a deal with the outsider. The Kitties exchanged messages with the outsider. They might have talked with it. Whatever it said, it convinced the Maxulks to help it produce radonium for it and to assist it in attempting to awaken a sentinel. The outsider and the Kitties coordinated their actions to attempt waking up a sentinel. Okay, so? So, the outsider must have revealed what it wants, at least some of it. Since we don't know how to directly collect useful intel on the outsider, and we don't even know where it is, our best source of info about its intention are the messages that were exchanged between it and the Maxulks. Oh, No problem, Joe. I'll just hack into their leader's InstaFace account. No, I'm serious about this. I am serious also. Joe, he did the I am patiently explaining things to a monkey sigh. We are victims of our own success. We set up a captive Maxalt's relay station, and that worked great for a couple years until the kitties figured out that someone was reading their most sensitive message traffic. Before that, we compromised the Pixie secure communication system they used, so now their most important secret information is carried by courier on data crystals that can only be written on once and read once. Basically, we trained the kitties how to prevent us from reading their messages. It's a form of evolution. It's an unintended consequence, I know all that. You also told me they do have a storage system for critical information. Well, yes, duh. They can't rely on their squishy biological memories to recall every bit of important information, and their cranial implants are switched off when they are reading or hearing information that is classified at the ultra level. So that data is stored in special secure archives. Got? He held up an index finger and shushed me. We talked about this back when you wanted me to hack into Maxalt's data systems to determine where and when Moonraider would attempt to activate a Sentinel. Hey, and you told me the job couldn't be done remotely like you usually do it because you would require sustained physical access to the Archive AI's processing core. Correct. And none of that has changed. You agreed it was impossible before, so why are you now saying before we couldn't access that data because we couldn't risk Moonraider knowing that we were aware of its intentions? Now, I don't give a shit whether the kiddies know we ransacked their most secure data archive. You don't have to care, because as I already explained to you, it can't be done. You did explain, and yes, it can. Why do I even bother talking to you? You explained the secure data archives are in special armored underground facilities that are heavily guarded and blah blah blah, it's impossible. You hear my words, but you don't understand them. It is not impossible, Skippy. What you described is not even close to impossible. Excuse me while I curl into a ball and cry. This is the part where you propose some ill-considered wacky plan that you will expect me to make happen. Well, yeah, I mean, that is kind of our thing. I hate that thing. You have a plan to ransack a data archive that we can't even get access to? Okay, fine. Hit me with it. That can wait. It can wait? Why? Because once we start planning, other people will have to get involved, and that could compromise operational security. We will discuss it one step at a time. You're just going to keep me guessing, aren't you? An idle mind is the devil's playground. If I didn't hate you already, I need to contact Admiral Becker at TRADEV. That is the Navy Training and Development Command. I know what TRADEV is, dummy. I worked on the analysis that recommended the proper organizational structure for the UN Navy. Damn, that is 2 days of my life I will never get back. It was only 2 days, Skippy. 2 days in slow monkey time. In magical Skippy time, galaxies flared to life in the void and slowly faded to cold, lifeless cinders. I once had that same experience while waiting in line at the Department of Motor Vehicles. The reason I have to contact TRADEV is the Special Mission Group needs to borrow one of their assets for a while. Which asset? He snorted. A particularly deadly PowerPoint slide? We can't bore the outsider into a coma, so no. We need one of their ships. The Surprise. The Surprise? What? Well, that's a Thurenan frigate we captured. A small, old frigate. Even when that ship was new, it was outgunned by its peers. It's like the weakest ship in the UN Navy. What could that possibly... Oh, you intend to pull a scam on the little green pinheads. We will not be attacking the Thuranin, no. Come on, Joe. Give me a hint. I will give you more than a hint, because once we get the Surprise, we need to pimp that ride. Modify it for the mission requirements, which are rather unique. Oh, I do not like the sound of that. Well, you are really not going to like this. Chapter 6. The cabin he was provided aboard the Inquisitor ship Scales of Justice was not up to his usual standards, or really any standard other than the basic minimums required by law. He would have been happy enough with the basic minimums required by common decency, but decency apparently was not a characteristic valued by the heartless drones in the Inquisitor's personnel department. The bed was much too soft, yet somehow still lumpy. and he swore he could smell the cabin's previous inhabitant, despite the bedding being replaced every morning. Fortunately, every morning was only 3 mornings, the flight from Plesastria requiring a transition through only a single elder wormhole to reach the homeworld of the Giraptha. The first 2 mornings, he was brought before the Arbiter when he was granted an opportunity to confess his crimes. He respectfully declined, except without the respect part. By long-standing tradition, the Offices of Ethics and Compliance and Special Inquiries hated each other. It comforted Ottavio to know that while the Giraptha public considered the ECO to be untrustworthy to the point of being sleazy, everyone hated the Inquisitors. And a bit of sleaziness was to be admired, really, if it got the job done, which it most certainly did. The 3rd morning, after a thoroughly inedible breakfast, Ottavio was in a foul mood when a pair of armor-clad enforcers marched him down the passageway to meet with the Arbiter again. Bringing powered armor to arrest him had been overkill. Wearing such suits aboard a starship was just silly. Seeing the fuss being made over him made him smile and lifted his mood. His mood brightened considerably when he was marched into a conference room and saw not the familiar Arbiter, but a face even more familiar. Kinsta! He waved to his former aide, waving as much as he could with his hands bound together. Excuse me, Inquisitor Kinsta! My title of Inquisitor is sufficient. The junior investigator stiffened as he gestured for the enforcers to wait outside the doorway. We are both here in an official capacity. Yes, I am your prisoner. You are not a prisoner. Not yet. You have been detained while our inquiry into your criminal activity proceeds. Alleged crimes. Treason, Kinsta scowled, or attempted to. Ah, at most my actions would be considered treason-ish. You gave vital secrets to our ultimate enemy. I have found that our true ultimate enemy tends to be our own selves, but let's not argue about that. Also, I wish to note for the record that I sold the information. I did not give anything to the Maxalks. That, Kinsta sputtered, hardly matters. In fact, committing treason for personal gain is the most serious of our charges against you, and you just confessed. I did no such thing. My attorneys could argue that while I did sell information, it was at the time technically not classified as secret by our government or by any government of the humans. That also hardly matters. It certainly does matter if I'm being charged with selling secrets. At the time, I did not know the information was intended to be secret. You should have known. Another point that can be argued by my attorneys. In addition, I did not personally gain anything from the transaction. All that happened was my oppressive financial position was somehow alleviated by a fresh infusion of funds. I was still on the verge of bankruptcy. Forced into bankruptcy by my own government. Kinsta blinked. Perhaps even after all the time they had worked together, he was surprised by the senior officer's boldness. You were stating that your dire financial position was the fault of our government and not due to your own foolish overexposure to Skipway and Skipcoin? The value of a currency that plummeted after someone attempted to steal a sentinel? Well, Scarandum grunted. That was part of it, of course, but our government could have ignored my temporary cash flow issue, and your crew had not been paid in a scandalously long time. Your taxes had not been paid to your superiors, yet they still had to kick taxes up the ladder. They displayed bad judgment in trusting me. I don't see how that is my problem. Additionally, our records indicate your finances have since recovered dramatically after the value of Skipcoin plummeted and then suspiciously regained strength for a brief time. The accounting people refer to what happened as a dump-and-pump scheme. Am I being charged with that also? No, the accounting people admire your skill in manipulating the market. They noted that back wages to your crew have been paid along with overdue taxes plus penalties and interest. Interest that was charged to me at an outrageous rate. You should investigate that. The point is you are no longer bankrupt. In fact, your financial position is relatively comfortable at the moment. Well, not quite. I was comfortable. However, I might have made some unwise wagers during my stay on Plesastria. As I remember, you rarely make successful wagers. The resort on Plesastria plied me with drink and encouraged me to gamble. A sound business model. Kinsta, Scarandum smiled warmly at his former protege. Did you just make a joke? My point is, you were never successful in wagering. That is why I should stick to doing the action rather than betting on it. Your days of doing anything are behind you, I am afraid. Any other Inquisitor would have gloated while making that statement. You do not realize the seriousness of your crimes. I know that you don't know, the Inquisitor insisted. You can't know because we only just heard an hour ago. The Moon Raider entity, which benefited from your treason, is not a rogue Elder AI as the humans assumed. It is actually a being from beyond the galaxy, one of the aliens who frightened the Elders into ascending. We are now threatened with an invasion from another galaxy by beings whose technology we can't begin to understand. Well, Scorandum slumped, deflated. That is surprising. The fact that you did not know the true nature of our enemy is not a defense for... It is also disappointing. I wagered the Moon Raider was not an Elder AI, but never did I imagine it came from another galaxy. That, Kinsta stuttered, is what you are concerned about? If you had lost yet another substantial wager, you would also be concerned, Scorandum muttered, his antennas drooping. Kinsta only wearily shook his head. This is such a waste. You have so much talent, and to see it squandered is a tragedy. I agree. Scorandum sat upright on his couch. Excellent. So, I am free to go back to causing havoc for our enemies? What? No, I meant it is a waste that your actions, your astonishingly poor judgment, have brought you to this point. It gives me no pleasure to see you like this. Come, Kinsta. It does give you a bit of pleasure, doesn't it? At first, the junior Inquisitor admitted. Thank you for speaking with me. The Arbiter sent me in here after he was unable to get you to talk at all. Oh, I did talk. Used up some of my best insults, too, and that is a tragedy. It's good that you can still joke about the situation. The situation is a joke, so a chime sounded. The ship was preparing to jump. Kinsta shifted in his chair. You could go back to your cabin. You mean my jail cell? Call it what you like. You could go there or strap in here for the jump. I would prefer you continue talking. Your cooperation in this inquiry might help you after you are convicted. Mm-hmm. And my cooperation will also greatly help your career, I assume. It wouldn't hurt. Kinsta's antennas shrugged, embarrassed. The chime sounded again. Strap in, please. Scorandum held up his claws, shaking the bindings. If you wouldn't mind. Of course. Kinsta pressed a button and straps automatically secured himself and the former admiral to their couches. That's better. Is there anything else you wish to say? Yes, in fact, I do. Kinsta leaned forward eagerly, tugging against the straps. Scorandum's antennas twitched, agitated. I wish to register an official complaint. A complaint? Kinsta's own antennas drooped. Yes. Shouldn't you be writing this down, I would hate for you to be found in violation of procedure. What is the complaint? The food aboard this ship is terrible. Kinsta snorted. The food in the galley is excellent. The food in my jail cell is inedible. Really? But the junior Inquisitor's antennas shook with mirth. We have been careful to feed you only officially licensed Skipway brand food products. Exactly. Then Kinsta reached into a drawer and pulled out a bottle. You would not enjoy a glass of this fine, he held up the bottle and read the label. Private Stock Reserve Skipway Cellars Burgoge? Scorandum shuddered. Thank you, no. Also, if you read the label carefully, it is Burgoose, not Burgoge. Kinsta squinted. It does. A misprint? No. Scorandum's mandibles clacked together sourly. We had to change the name after legit Burgoge distillers sued Skipway for defamation. I don't suppose you have any real Burgoge in that desk? Sadly, no. Sir, I call you, sir, from habit and from respect for the man I used to know. I'm afraid our time for pleasant chit-chat is almost over. The ship will be jumping soon. I do regret that our relationship has come to this point. I also regret the circumstances.
Kinsta, I have always tried to warn you of how the world really is, rather than the naive view you had when we met. That you still have. You live in a fantasy world where people are honest, polite, and respectful, and there is no such place in this galaxy. Well, except for what humans call Canada, but that is beside the point. We... Another chime sounded. The ship's final jump was imminent. Ah, Kinsta. Scarandum relaxed back on his couch. I do regret this. The ship jumped. Another, different chime sounded, giving the all-clear signal. Kinsta unstrapped them from their couches, and the two former shipmates sat silently for a long moment, each lost in their own thoughts. Kinsta frowned, reading a message. This is unusual. The Arbiter has instructed me to keep you here. That can't be good news. Please understand I cannot protect you. What you do not understand is that I can protect you. Sir? What? The door slid open. The Arbiter loomed in the doorway, stiff, imperious, angry. So angry the tablet he held in a claw was shaking. You, the Arbiter sputtered at Scarandum. You are a... I believe the word you are searching for is something like hero, Scarandum suggested. You are... Arbiter, you will address me as Admiral, is that clear? Also, he held up his manacled claws, get your goon squad in here to release me. When the Arbiter merely stood, quivering with rage, the ECO Admiral snapped his claws. Now, that was not a request. The two armor-clad enforcers somehow squeezed past their leader, and one of them fumbled with the mechanism on the bindings. Nice costumes. Scarandum flexed his claws and forelimbs, stiff from being bound. If you wanted to play soldier, you should have stayed in the service. Also, he jabbed a claw at the Arbiter. If you allow these idiots to carry loaded weapons aboard a transport ship, you should be under arrest for criminal stupidity. Now, the three of you, he waved to the Arbiter and enforcers, are dismissed. The Arbiter, perhaps aware that he was not acting with the grave dignity his office required, straightened, standing tall.
Admiral Scarandum, I do not know how you managed to...
I managed quite nicely, thank you. You are dismissed, he repeated. The enforcers scrambled out the doorway, but the Arbiter could not contain his indignant rage. Impotent rage, for he was unable to speak. Kinsta filled the silence. What is going on? The senior inquisitor turned his ire on the junior investigator.
General Bishop and his special pirate group.
Special mission group, Scarandum corrected.
Silence!
The Arbiter roared as the Admiral grinned, stretching back on the couch.
Those pirates have submitted a statement that the Admiral,
he almost couldn't pronounce the distasteful word,
was working undercover for them all along. That his assistance was vital to prevent the theft of a sentinel. The Prime Minister herself has issued a proclamation I am supposed to read to Admiral.
He spat out the word.
Scarandum. I fear that I would choke while reading this disgusting set of lies, so you can read it yourself.
But it was Kinsta's turn to sputter.
Oh, shut up, you fool, the Arbiter sneered. Our own government has been coerced, or bribed, or simply hoodwinked by...
Hoodwinked? Scarandum's antennas danced with delight.
The scoundrels we call allies. You,
a claw was jabbed in the direction of the ECO Admiral,
will get off my ship the instant we receive traffic clearance to launch a dropship, and you,
the claw pointed at a trembling Kinsta,
we will talk later about your latest failure.
The door slid closed. Kinsta's antennas sagged as he slumped back into his couch, thoroughly defeated. Please explain what the fuck just happened. I strongly suspect that all charges against me have been dropped. Charges that always were merely vicious and spurious, I might add. You sold secrets to the enemy.
No, I provided information to our unwitting allies so that General Bishop could predict with the required level of accuracy exactly when and where our actual ultimate enemy would attempt to reactivate and take control of a sentinel. My bold and heroic actions not only accomplished the stated objective, they also unmasked the true enemy, which is a threat to the existence of all life in the galaxy. He paused. This is the point where you should congratulate me, as the Prime Minister no doubt did in her proclamation. You sold the information for a shocking amount. Well, if I hadn't gouged the Maxalks, they never would have believed me. Bishop encouraged me to give them something he called a hometown discount. But I do have a reputation to uphold. You are not concerned the Maxalks will be outraged that you have played them yet again? No. Why? The Maxalks got exactly what they wanted. It is certainly not my fault that they consorted with the true enemy and fell into Bishop's trap. No matter, he waved a claw. They can't hate me any more than they already do, and they don't even know half of the scams I pulled on those arrogant idiots. Besides, at the time, I genuinely was threatened with arrest by my own people. Thank you for that, by the way. Your zealous pursuit of me was very convincing to the Maxalks. I wasn't faking. Kinsta moaned, miserable. You used me. No, I merely allowed you to apply your talents. Which reminds me, the Arbiter just now appeared to be quite unhappy with you. Oh, he stared at the ceiling. My life is over. They will stick me in the administrative department forever. I will die at a desk. You have other opportunities. Inquisitors, even disgraced former inquisitors, do not leave the Office of Special Inquiries. It is not allowed. Instead,